Chapter 9. A Very Secret Place. Where is Nutu? It is almost dark, and the friends are worried. Perhaps the pygmy boy is in difficulty. After a long time, they hear a noise and see Nutu's face above them again.
You come up,
he says.
Here is door.
He helps Julie to scramble up the ice. The surface is cold, dirty and slippery. Now she is standing on a shelf in the ice wall. In front of her is a big hole in the ice. It is the entrance to a tunnel that goes deep into the heart of the glacier.
Go on,
says Nutu, pointing at it.
I help your friend.
Julie begins to walk down the strange tunnel. It is slippery and she can't see where she is going. After 10 minutes, she sees stars that shine in the night sky at the end of the tunnel. She comes out into deep snow, high on the side of a mountain. Below her is a wide, flat plain, surrounded by high, impenetrable mountains. In the center of the plain, there is a solitary mountain peak, very high, which shimmers strangely in the starlight.
The Lost Mountain,
Julie thinks.
It must be invisible to anyone outside this valley. The other mountains around it hide it.
Julie jumps when she hears a noise behind her, but it is only Nutu, who arrives with Neil. All three stare in silence at the scene in front of them.
Where are we, Nutu?
Whispers Neil.
Lost Mountain,
replies the boy, pointing to the silver peak in the centre.
Very secret place. Many magic,
he adds nervously.
Why is it shining, Neil?
Asks Julie.
Perhaps the surface is quartz. I don't know. It's beautiful.
Around the base of the mountain, cultivated fields are visible, and on its lower slopes, there are hundreds of tiny lights. A town.
Neil,
says Julie slowly.
There aren't any towns in the Ruwenzori Mountains, are there?
No, at least not on our maps,
he replies.
So what is that place?
Well, perhaps it's the place of the gods in Nutu's grandfather's story.
Don't be ridiculous. That's only a legend,
replies Julie.
How can gods live here? This is the 21st century.
Well, the Crystal Mountain exists,
insists Neil.
Look!
Nutu interrupts them.
Now you go there,
he says, pointing to the distant lights.
I go home, my village.
But Nutu, we don't know the way,
says Julie.
Please, can you take us there?
The boy shakes his head. Then he sees Julie's white, worried face. He hesitates, then says,
Okay, I not know way, but I find.
He studies the slope below them for a few minutes, then starts to descend. The two friends follow him. It is difficult to walk in the snow, and it is very cold. They walk for 300 meters and come to the edge of a forest. Nutu points to the ground. Between the trees, a narrow track is visible. It is dark, but the stars are bright, and they follow the track for about an hour. The forest is completely silent. There are no bird or animal noises. There is no wind. As they come near to the other side of the forest, Nutu suddenly stops. He freezes, listening intently. He turns to speak to the others, but it is too late. Two enormous black dogs appear, snarling and showing their teeth. They jump on Nutu and push him down in the snow. Suddenly the children see that there are men in the trees all around them. The men are watching them. They are tall, with long beards, and they are carrying big sticks. It is dark, but their features are unmistakable. The men are white. A long, low whistle fills the air, and the dogs release Nutu immediately and run to their masters. The terrified boy remains in the snow, trembling. Three of the tall men approach the children with ropes. Neil tries to explain that they are lost, but the men do not reply. In silence, they tie the children's hands behind them and indicate that they must walk in front of them along the track.
"What's happening, Neil?"
whispers Julie.
"I don't know, but do exactly what they say,"
replies her friend. With the men behind them and the fierce dogs on each side, the children and their pygmy friend walk towards the sleeping town on the Crystal Mountain.